a manger, rough hewn in stone, carrying eternity's weight. A baby lying in straw. The incarnation is not weakness disguised as strength. It is strength revealed through dependence. Why does God choose vulnerability? What does that say about the way in which we are to live our lives and our constant quests for recognition or position or power? Luke chapter 2, verse 7, a verse that you heard read just a few moments ago, says, "She laid him in a manger." The creator of the galaxies lies on straw. Majesty, not draped with a golden crown, but mortality. God never avoids the ordinary. He never runs away from it. God inhabits the ordinary moments of our lives. And therefore, no matter how humble or ordinary your life or mine may feel, it is a manger in which God's presence can be revealed and beneath which we can sense his presence. Our culture doesn't know what to do with dependence. Right now around the world, our nations talk of independence and protection and strength. Armaments are being prepared. Europe is on the closest verge of war than it has been for 60 or 70 years. And everywhere seems precarious. And into this world, we are reminded once again this Christmas that God in his Son, Jesus Christ, in the words of Philippians 2, emptied himself. He gave away his rights in order to reach us. He gave away his power in order to rescue us. He gave up his position in order to come to those of us who needed him. It always amazes me that the baby Jesus needed Mary's milk and Joseph's care and slept in a borrowed bed. Dependence is not shame, it is grace. And in a culture and a world that idolizes independence, the incarnation dignifies our need of each other. I was made to be dependent on you, and you were made to be dependent on me. We are interlocked and we need one another. There is a vulnerability in this story too, I think. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we heard these words, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." The Word did not become flesh and dominate us. The Word did not become flesh and control us. The Word became flesh and resided with us. Power in God's eyes is never domination. It is always exercised and exhibited in self-giving love. In laying down our lives for those around us who need help and support. The message of the incarnation redefines strength. Our weaknesses can become a channel for God's glory. And his power is manifested in our fragility, in our need of each other. So maybe this Christmas season, you are in need. Maybe you don't feel as strong and as powerful as you think you ought. That is a good place to be, because it is in that moment that we can discover that God has come to live with us. Isaiah 7 reminds us that his name is Emmanuel. Ladies and gentlemen, sisters and brothers, if God stoops to lie in the straw, then I can trust him with my brokenness. He invites us tonight to lay down the illusion of our self-sufficiency and to embrace the grace of dependence, our need of each other, our dependence on God and on one another. But this is a costly dependence, because the child that is born in the straw and the dirt under the roof of a cave is the child that will die on a cross and cry, "Father, forgive them, for they do not understand what they are doing." Each year, I listen to the narratives of the incarnation story very carefully. And I ask the Holy Spirit to give me one phrase that I can focus on for the rest of the year that will become the focus of my message next Christmas Eve, 2026. And I heard it this afternoon in the story of the Magi, these warrior wise men who were looking for a Messiah, a savior, a rescuer, and were willing to come and support him in might. There could have been hundreds of them that turned up in Jerusalem. They could have been armed and ready to fight. But at the end of the story of the Magi, Jesus would have been about 18 months or 2 years old by this stage. We're told that after being warned by the Holy Spirit in a dream not to trust what the powerful King Herod had said about his desire to know where Jesus was living, that little phrase caught me this afternoon that I have noticed before but never preached on, but will next Christmas Eve. They left by a different route. Will you take a different route this Christmas? Will you hear this story that is so familiar that we can recite it and tell each other about it? But are you willing to leave by a different route? To allow your priorities to be reset by this message? Not mine, the message of the incarnation. To allow how you view other people to be re-altered. Perhaps even to allow how you view yourself and your fragility and your frailty to be altered, and that to such an extent that you will leave this building, this moment, by a different route. It is amazing, isn't it, that the weight of straw held the weight of glory. The incarnation whispers to you and to me, you are not alone. Your need is not your shame. It is your dignity. How do we respond? We worship the one who stooped so low so that we could stand so tall. I wrote this for today. It's called The Weight of Straw. Under the thatch, the rafters hold their breath, frost biting the eaves like a whispered rebuke. Yet in the hush, a pulse begins to thrum. Not in the proud halls, but in the cattle's nook. And he stoops to skin and sinew, to bone and blood. The word is tender, helpless as a lamb. Hands that spun the galaxies in light curl around a finger, seeking warmth from a mother. Dependence drapes him like a shawl, not shame, but grace stitched deep in every thread. The maker leans on milk and mother's breath and sanctifies the need by which we are fed. So let us learn the weight of straw and trust, the crib, the cross, both timbered in his plan. For glory stoops, and in its stooping shows that dignity begins where weakness runs. Amen.